Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Ross Dunn of Stepforth Web Marketing. Ross has been specializing in serving small and medium-sized businesses since 1997 and has become a leader in marketing and growing your online business. Today, we're going to be discussing Ross's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Ross.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So to get started, let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I'm not a type A kind of driver to get loaded with money or anything like that. So I find a lot of it's driven by a genuine feel good energy from helping people and having a great team that I feel comfortable working with. To my detriment, I'm sure I've let go of people who are really good at what they did, but I just didn't gel with.
Yeah.
And I've let clients go that I could have made a lot more money with, but I just didn't feel in sync with.
Yeah.
So I'd say, you know, one of my common answers to how we're getting to later, but is how I run my business, which is, you know, gut, heart, and mind. I got to have all those things in sync.
I love that. Yeah, it's so true. When everything is running, you know, smoothly, and it's all sort of through the lens of what your core values are, that's when, you know, you're going to have a happier team. They're going to produce a higher quality of work because they're just happier. They're enjoying coming to work every day, or, you know, sitting down at their home office every day. And it's just going to make happier clients at the end of the day as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Our average client's been with us 10 years. And I'm really proud of that. And I think that's really for that reason. They just
that's
feel
impressive.
That connection.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how did you get into digital marketing?
Oh, it's quite a roundabout. And a while back. So back in 96, I started, My dream at that time is to start my own adventure tourism company. Mm-hmm. I had taken a few jobs before this, but I was working as a whale watching skipper in the fledgling whale watching industry. And the company I was with, which has turned out to be the biggest in probably North America now, there were just two or three boats at the time, Prince of Wales Whale Watching, needed a website. And I said, well, I'll go for it. I've been playing around with websites and I was a bit of a nerd, you know, I kind of liked computers and stuff. No programmer or anything, but I enjoyed that stuff.
Yeah.
I created their site and then I realized graphic designers are everywhere. Web designers, there's no way I was going to compete with them. Some of the most amazing sites even then were just beyond me. But no one knew how to do SEO and no one wanted to, but I found it so easy. I got them rankings they needed and it was odd. From there, I moved out of that or I started working sort of part-time for them and did some websites and it kind of went from there. I got a ranking, a number one ranking for poker for a casino.
Which
at the time I wouldn't touch that stuff now. I was just young and full of energy then.
Yeah.
And that really rocketed me. I mean, as soon as you do that in that industry, you get known pretty quickly. Not long after that, or I guess a few years later, I got a job teaching Sports Illustrated and People Magazine at Time Inc. in New York, how to do SEO in-house, did some competitive analysis for the company. My first speech was in front of the Time Inc. board.
Oh, wow.
That was a stress test, I tell you.
Yeah, that's impressive.
It was very fish out of water. I'm from a small city in Victoria, so it was quite a bit. Yeah. And then I landed SEO 101, which is now the oldest and longest running SEO podcast in the world. And I've been doing that for, oh man, since 2009. So quite a while.
Very cool.
And it's kind of just rocketed. It's been a fun ride. I can't believe it's been 25 years, honestly. It's just bizarre.
Yeah. That's so impressive.
Thank you.
And then, so what was that deciding factor to start Stepforth Web Marketing?
Well, I was, I think, 19 at the time. And honestly, what do we know at that point in our lives? We just kind of want some money.
Not a lot.
Travel,
we think we know
play,
everything.
Right?
Yeah.
And at that time, people were paying fairly well for SEO. It's totally self-serving. That's what I went for.
Yeah.
I was still living in my parents' basement and, you know, playing around. And then it started to get kind of serious.
So you started your first job when you were 19 in SEO.
My company I started when I was 19.
Wow.
And
that's so young.
Yeah. It is very young. And I tell you, the mistakes I made were pretty funny, but there was only maybe 100 SEOs in the world at the time, and we were all sort of connected. I wasn't very social, but a few of us were. And I fell into it. I'm really lucky on my timing is really what it comes down to, I think.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And then, so what has that evolution been like for how you've grown the agency? You know, how do you, obviously, you know, now you've got the podcast, so that I'm sure is a great way to network and, you know, continue to get your name out there. And obviously you've been around a long time. But maybe, you know, like go back to what it was like in the early days. How did you bring on, you know, clients in an ongoing way to help grow the agency?
Yeah. So at the beginning, it was word of mouth. I wasn't very big, so I didn't need that many clients. When I started getting bigger, I got my first staff member, Jim Hedger. I started realizing I could take a bit more on. So we did a lot of writing, really what it came down to. At that time, if I'm not sure how many people remember, but you could write and have it syndicated. And so I had a ton of writing I did, and we were fairly cutting edge at the time, and that got syndicated to search engine. Search engine news. It wasn't search engine guide at the time. I can't remember the names anymore, but
that's okay.
Search engine watch. I think that's what it was. The big one then.
Okay.
And a few of the other major sites, and they would happily publish my stuff. And I was, how can you go wrong with that kind of exposure? Really? I mean, at that time, Google was giving credit too for all that syndicated content. It wasn't considered duplicated. Well, now it is. So I really ran with the trends, and I really took advantage of them. And that was a phenomenal way to build trust and authority, which as we know now is a major part of Google's algorithms. It's about authority and stuff. So
of course
it was a matter of growing with Google in very opportune times, I found.
Yeah. When you were first starting out, was it mostly local clients that you were working with, or were you working with more, you know, international clients?
Because of the writing, a lot of international clients. I would say most of our work was in the United States, and then some all over, from China to UK to Australia.
Interesting.
English language. I don't have any other languages under my belt, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. So you you had those initiatives to bring in more clients, to bring in more leads. Did you do like face-to-face networking or cold calling or anything like that? Or was that pretty much how you were bringing in all your leads?
No, I'm out of the womb, I was introverted. So I tried to stay the heck away from mixers and stuff. I just don't perform well. And cold calling even then gave me the shivers. Now it's just, really just building that authority. We had a newsletter at one point. I was like talking about with my current staff of the day. I mean, one of my more recent staff members, and I was saying, you know, at one time we were all of us. At one point, there's 10 of us just sitting down in 2004 and just writing a whole day to put out newsletters every week.
Wow. I mean,
we were pounding them out and it made us an authority, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
And we knew that's what we needed. We could see the immediate impact in sales. So it was a no-brainer. You know, if we missed a week, we felt it.
Wow.
So at times I think about reinvigorating it, honestly. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, definitely. That's really interesting though.
Thanks.
So now, you know, when it comes to maintaining happy clients who are, you know, going to hopefully bring you in referrals, do you have any tips or feedback for how to maintain happy clients?
Being in sync with their expectations is probably the hardest part of my job. Sometimes it's easy. It really depends on the client, but some of them really don't understand what their expectations are, or certainly are not in line with reality. So we first talk to them about that and make sure we have that in line. Go, well, yeah, getting a number one ranking for cars is not likely in the next few years, you know, unless you've got backers and blah, blah, blah. So it's the kind of thing where we go, okay, let's start with Seattle car dealership instead of car dealership or whatever it might be. Let's start with something small, or even maybe just a smaller portion of that, just your area, and then build up. And when we got them on the right page, then we tell them, okay, this is what's likely going to happen. It's going to take some time, but this is what you're going to be getting. This is what we needed to do. We make it kind of like a partnership. We make everything crystal clear and transparent. We have nothing to hide. As I said, we keep clients a long time. I think it's because we treat them as though we want them around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's such a different mindset that you don't see with a lot of these garbage SEOs out there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that make a bad name for all the good ones.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of good ones. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they're far outweighed by the bad. So I would say that keeping them happy in that way, but also the transparency leads to the results, making sure you get the results, but also being transparent about the process and what results are happening, allowing them to have a person they can talk to. They're not just going to get a dead air when they call. They're going to get a response within the day. That alone, by the way, is huge. I can't get over how many of them are just in awe of getting a reply in a day.
I know.
And it just seems to me the most logical thing to do, but a lot of them don't.
Even if you just say, you know, like acknowledge, like, hey, we're looking into this for you, you know, we'll be back in touch, instead of just leaving it sitting in the inbox. And then they're like, was my message even seen? You know, and then that's where the frustration crops up from.
Yeah. And if you say you're going to do something, follow through.
Yes.
And that, hey, I've made those mistakes, you know, you forget or something urgent comes up. But,
of course.
But most of the time we're on ball with that. And you really have to be, because they'll remember it. I mean, I would, especially if I'm paying a fair amount of money for good work.
You're going
to be making sure that everything's on task and on time.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. So just really managing those expectations, making sure that they have realistic expectations of the service that you're going to be providing and what they can be expecting.
Yeah, and then deliver and over-deliver.
Yes.
Over-delivering is pretty easy at that point because they have realistic expectations. When they don't, man, there's just no winning.
Yeah.
I can get them number one ranking for whatever. And they're like, okay, well, next one, I want this one. I'm like, whoa, do you have, that took us forever. Please acknowledge this. it can be a very thankless job unless they're very much in line and understanding what you're doing. And that is that'll never cease to be the most difficult part of my job, is really educating without wanting to educate them so much they don't care. I mean, people are coming to us because they don't want to do this stuff, but they still have to know enough to understand the value. And that's no easy thing.
How much is this, you know, an ongoing communication with your clients? You know, is this something where, you know, you're managing their expectations up front when you first start the job, or is this something that, you know, every month you're kind of, you know, just opening that discussion and it's just an ongoing conversation?
Yeah, I would like to say we have, you know, it's up to the client, but a lot of times we have a call with them in a month. Sometimes we don't. They don't want to have that call. We are always invited to call. We have a little booking thing and everything, but they always get a report and it's got custom writing and it talks about, you know, where things at, and where are they compared to expectations? And here's the dashboard. And again, transparent.
Yes.
And when it comes to expectations at that time, it's fairly clear since we're kind of reminding them of them as mm-hmm. we go. And
right.
sometimes, well, because we consider ourselves kind of a partner with our clients versus just, and we're not officially a partner, but like one, we're saying, okay, we've done this. We still need you to do this. We asked you to do a couple months ago. It's weird for us to ask them to do something, but it is important because we are working together to market them.
Of course.
And it's a back and forth expectation. But man, if they follow through, the results are mind blowing.
Yeah.
The ones that follow through are just, you know, they do the writing we need them to do. And they let us know when it's done and gets done on time. And they do the other advertising, whatever it might be. I'm just throwing an example out there. It's a proven strategy. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, sometimes you hit some roadblocks, but really they're always surmountable.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And then what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing Stepforth Web Marketing?
I'd say, well, it's probably the most common issue right now for everyone. That's employees, talent.
Yes.
That's why when I get them, I work my butt off to keep them. Mm-hmm. My right-hand guy has been with me 20 years almost now.
Wow.
And the others are 15 years, 16 years. And then the others are probably more in the 5-year range. And finding them, I hate doing so much that I baby the crap out of them. I mean, I try to be the best boss that I want.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. At times I'm like, oh my God. But it'll pass. They're having a rough time right now. Whatever. I'm there for them. Right.
Yeah.
And I break every rule in the book on how to work with employees. You know, again, don't get close and all this stuff. Come on. I can't be like that. I think you said gut, heart, mind. I have to have that connection and it's worked.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing for me though is to keep them. And when I don't, if one of them moves off, finding new ones is so hard. And where I am now, where I live, oh my God, a fixer upper home is over $1 million. It's obscene.
Wow.
It's obscene. So yeah. I can't hire people here because I can't afford to pay them what they need to pay their mortgage with. I mean, right. It's just not right.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of, we've got half our teams in the Philippines, full time, no contractors.
Okay.
And I can't say enough about the quality of work. It is mind blowing. They love what they do. They're absolutely sweet people. They're so good at what they do. I mean, they listen. I mean, maybe I'll train them, but I can't say enough. And they mean, you know, 5 or 6 years of me, I've just enjoyed so much working with them.
Interesting. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. And we've got 11 people. So it's about half the companies there and the rest of them are sort of all over Canada and the US.
Right. Okay. So you're up to an 11-man team. Very good. So where do you see Stepforth Web Marketing in 5 years' time?
I've thought about that a lot, especially during COVID.
Yeah.
Will I be around? No, it wasn't that bad, but at times, you know, it felt a little dark. But I would, you know, I've been doing this a long time. There are times when I get pretty tired, but ultimately where I wanted it to be is perhaps a few more staff. And then, you know, doing the same kind of work, more medium-sized businesses that will spend the money that's required to do what they need to get done, which is not always the case with small business. I get it because I've been a small business for a long time.
Yeah.
But you know, they can spend $2,500 a month. And because they need the results and they'll get the results. That kind of client. I want more of those. And I think we're going to become more multifaceted. Over the years, we've grown. We were just SEO. We do pay-per-click and we do you know, paid advertising. I mean, we do lots of research, competitive research, SEO research, and audits, and web design. Even we added web design, which was a big leap because I had to hire a fantastic designer. I don't like to do anything half-assed. So we got a really good designer. We got a couple developers full-time. That's a lot, but I do see us, you know, growing our social media division, becoming more well-rounded as an agency, which is something I never thought I'd do. I did not want to be an agency. I never wanted to be, but the clients that stay with us don't want to use other agencies. They trust. As soon as they build that trust, they want to stay and use the same people because they know they're going to be looked after.
Right.
And I don't want them to go somewhere else because maybe they'll get taken away or maybe they'll do a bad job and then I got to fix it.
You know?
Anyway, I rambled, but you can tell that it's still kind of forming in my head. It is a long way off in the internet world, but
yes.
I think I see us being a much more well-rounded agency in some areas that I've had to outsource a bit. Social media being the one that
really
still outsource a bit.
Interesting. So you're going to continue to build on the service offerings that you're able to offer your clients, and you want to continue to build your team, to grow your team.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Yeah, awesome. So tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast.
Sure. So SEO 101 on WMR.FM, which was also, which was webmasterradio.fm. They both work. It started in 2004 with a group, a gang of David Brown and Carolyn Shelby and I'm sorry, buddy, I can't forget your the other, I forgot the other name, but three of them. And that went for 4 years. And then at that point, it took a hiatus. And then we took over, myself and Jennifer Laycock at that time, Jennifer Evans Cairo now. And she decided that she wanted to do something else. So anyway, I had a few hosts and ended up with John, unfortunately, the late John Carcutt, who was with me for 11 years, my best friend. And I just loved every day. Every time I got on the show with him, it was the best part of my week. Lost him on November 8th last year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was difficult. Anyway, it has been fabulous. You know, we've had, he was also, he started in 95 doing SEO. So between the two of us, we could just talk about anything. And he was in corporate and I'm in small, medium business. So we really had this great dynamic.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It was really interesting. And so we'd have Google on occasionally, the guys from Google. We'd have Yoast plugin for WordPress. You know, we've had Guy Kawasaki was on once. I mean, we just had all these different names and a ton of people in the SEO industry, and we were just able to talk shop and really keep things as basic as we could. Sometimes we get a little nerdy about SEO, but it's just been so much fun. And keeping on top of things is actually half the reason I do it, is to keep on top of the news, because that's part of most of what we actually talk about, what's happening right now.
Yes, that's so beneficial. And then so is your podcast geared towards other SEOs, or is it towards, you know, small business owners, or is it maybe a bit of both?
It's actually meant for people who have an interest in SEO. And generally what that means is we have, I don't even know what the portions are, but I would guess it's probably 50-50 businesses that have their own, do their own stuff. And the other part are SEOs.
Got it. Okay. Very cool. Well, if any of our listeners are interested in checking that out, where would be the best place to go to listen to that?
An easy place to find it is SEO101radio.com.
SEO101radio.com. Okay.
Just take you right to our page that has all the info.
Perfect. We are getting ready to begin wrapping up here shortly, but first I have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions for you.
Great.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Blue Fishing. I can't remember the guy's name, but it's an excellent book. You learned so much about finding business and impressing people. It's a phenomenal read. Best in audiobook. He's Aussie. Love the accent.
Okay, awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
I get up, have my coffee, walk my dog, my little beagle. And that's always the best part of my morning because lots of smiles. Everyone loves a beagle.
Yes.
and then I come back, try to stretch if I have time or prep for a podcast, and jump into usually my most intense project of the day because theoretically I'm fresh.
Yes, exactly.
And better and ready to do it.
I'm the same.
Or whatever is urgent on my plate.
Most on the ball first thing in the morning and yeah, get that the big task out of the way.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Wow, that's hard to do.
Yeah. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No, I don't think there is.
Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
Right now, it would be SEMrush.
Okay.
SEMrush.com. Excellent tool. There's still much more I could learn on how to use it, but it's a really reliable tool for our work.
Awesome. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Well, I still joke about buying Bitcoin, but when it comes down to it, I think so many. I struggle with this one because I'm a bit distracted of all the ideas. I think the biggest one was following the gut, heart, and mind. I've made some big mistakes in my time. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have in business, but the ones that I didn't do, the biggest mistakes that I actually regret significantly were ones where I kind of listened to someone else instead of following my own instinct and really just going, no, you know, it doesn't matter what that person who says, who may be extremely experienced, extremely reputable and respected, they're not me. Mm-hmm. And I wish I'd followed my instinct and gone with my gut and listened to my mind. You know, they have to be in sync. And for me, that's how I lead my business. And it's been so rewarding.
Yeah. I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Ross, for today's episode. It's been a pleasure learning about your journey of entrepreneurship and starting StepForth Web Marketing. So thank you again for joining me for today's episode.
It's a pleasure being on. Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast. And we'll see you next time.